May the Lord be with you. It was August 1970. I was 11 years old when I moved to Chico with my family. Dad had just graduated from North Texas State University in Denton, Texas, and he had accepted a teaching position at Chico State. Now, back in 1970, it was just Chico State. I didn't really want to move. I was going into the sixth grade. In the previous year, fifth grade, I had been the starting quarterback on the fifth grade football team. Now, not because I had any great football skills. I was the only one who could remember the plays. At 11 years old, I didn't have much say in the decision to move, so to Chico we came. We were a church-going Lutheran family. During that first year of living in Chico, Mom and Dad found Faith Lutheran Church, and I found a picture of Faith Lutheran Church back from 1970. Okay, so that's the church. Now, it was right here, the same spot, okay, but it was a different building. The front doors, as you can see there, the front doors would be about right there where the sacristy is, I think. Pastor Carl, you can tell me if that's about the right position. Anyway, the front doors opened up right there to East First Avenue. So it was an entirely different building. A white building with wooden pews inside. Had some stained glass windows down the sides. This crown of thorns that we have adorning the cross right here, it hung over the altar. These lights that are hanging down that we condemn, they're from the old church. So it was a classic church. And there's quite a few of you here this morning that probably remember it as I do. And you're becoming a classic as well. In our gospel reading today, Jesus has just come from Tyre and Sidon. Now, during that period of time, they were Gentile cities north of Israel on the Mediterranean coast. They are still cities today in Lebanon. Now, last week, we heard while there, Jesus was asked by a woman to heal her daughter, who was possessed by a demon and is in terrible shape. Jesus, being moved by her faith, healed her daughter. Now, Jesus is walking along the shores of Lake Galilee. He climbs a hill and sits down. And the large crowd that has been following Jesus for 3 days starts to congregate around him. The crowd has heard about Jesus and how he is able to heal people. It is a big crowd, filled not only with spectators, but lame, blind, crippled, lost, muted, possessed, and sick people. People Jesus amazingly heals. Also from our first reading last week, we heard how hungry Hannah is for a child. And I suspect that Hannah is in that crowd today at Jesus' feet. Are you in that crowd with her? And if you are in that crowd, why? I am in that crowd. I'm lost and sick and desperately looking for something to fill my hunger. At the age of 14, I had my first drink. It was a rainy afternoon. I had a friend over. Mom and Dad weren't home, and we were bored, so we raided the liquor cabinet. It was a tall rum and Coke that we made. Well, it was mostly rum. The Coke was there just for color in case Mom and Dad came home. It was a goofy afternoon, as you can imagine. Mom and Dad did come home. They figured out something wasn't right, and I told them what we had done when asked. I don't remember the consequences, if there were any, but I do remember that I liked the way alcohol made me feel. It was a feeling that made me feel different. Older? I can't really say, but I liked that feeling. It was a feeling that fed my hunger for my old friends and situation from Texas. That was the beginning of the next 24 years of my life. Partying, drinking, and living. Now, at the age of 14, I was in confirmation class here at Faith Lutheran Church, taught by Pastor Jay Spoonheim. Included in my confirmation class was Todd Kimmelshue. Now you're getting the picture of classic. Well, you told me to have some levity. I was confirmed in the old classic church. My high school years went quickly. The usual classes, sports, dances, and growing. Some of the memories blurred with partying and drinking as I continued to chase that hunger for that good feeling that I got from alcohol. Maybe a feeling of being cool, and being accepted as the coolest guy in school. Again, I can't really say. I liked the way it made me feel. However, it never made me the coolest guy in school. After graduating from Chico High School in 1977, I moved to Reading to attend Shasta College. In January of 1978, two friends came up for a weekend. After some partying, we decided to go out. So out we went in my 1951 Dodge pickup truck. I drove the truck over a curve and down an embankment, threw us all into the windshield. Fortunately, there were no serious injuries. There were just some bruises, headaches, a little bit of embarrassment. I did get a DUI, and according to the police report, my blood alcohol was 0.28. You would think that would be a wake-up call, that I had issues with alcohol. However, it wasn't. Alcoholism is a progressive disease. And as I continued drinking, it got worse. When I start drinking, when I take that first drink, the phenomenon of craving begins. It's almost like an allergy. A craving that once started, I can't control myself to stop. Which meant once I started, I usually drank more than a normal, non-alcoholic person. Because I had no control. This created situations where I hurt or endangered those around me with my actions. Friends, family, work, even people I didn't know. They could all be affected. Then coming out of a drunken situation the next day, realizing I had been a drunken fool, I would tell myself, I'm not doing that again. No, it didn't work that way for me. My mind, this little voice in my head, would tell me, you really didn't hurt anyone. If you change what you drink, change the way you drink, eat more food before you drink, next time you'll be able to control it. Well, that's the great obsession, that as an alcoholic, I will control and enjoy my drinking like a normal person. I will be that person who can control and will stop drinking before hurting anyone. It never happened. So as each year passed by, I continued to live out this cycle. My alcoholism progressed slowly but steadily. My life in the late 70s and early 80s was a lot of fun, though it didn't include attending church. I had a good job at Montgomery Ward in the auto center, selling tires and batteries. I had friends, a social life, and my own place. I have many good memories from these years. Now, a life-changing event did occur working at Ward's. You see, there was this beautiful, need I say more words? Cute gal with a great smile working in the men's department, Leanne Thompson. We fell in love, and in October of 1983, after a couple of years of dating and living together, we were married by Pastor Carl in the old classic church. The premarital counseling with Pastor Carl was the first time I had been involved in a church activity in quite a while. In 1984, we bought our first and only house. Our daughter Sandy came along on Mother's Day of 1987. And our son Matthew showed up on Christmas Eve, 1989. Sandy and Matthew were both baptized here at Faith Lutheran Church. Sandy in 1989 and Matthew in 1992. My family's growing, responsibilities are growing, and my drinking is progressing right along. I have a good, steady, full-time job. It helps pay the bills. It also helps pay for my drinking. As I continue to keep drinking, my job and family are beginning to be affected. I would miss a day of work or two calling in sick. There were many instances where this occurred, as well as instances where my drinking prevented me from doing what needed to be done. Now, I'm not going to give you a drunkalogue, but trust me, it wasn't pretty. I had friends and loved ones that told me I had a problem. They would give me examples, and I would deny I had a problem. They were wrong. Now, other than having Sandy and Matthew baptized, we had drifted away from the church. We were not regular attendees. My life at this point, however, continues to be full. I have a lot of great memories, a lot of great times. But people at work and loved ones at home are on my back about my drinking. I need to get them off my back. So I began playing this game of going to Alcoholics Anonymous meetings with no intent whatsoever to stop or quit drinking. I even went to the extent of agreeing to go to an outpatient recovery program at the request of my employer. At the time, these actions were done out of desperation. This was 3 years in my life, our life, of denial, lying, and playing games. In our gospel today, Jesus amazingly heals the sick, lame, blind, and then out of compassion feeds over 4,000 people from scraps of fish and a few fish and 7 loaves of bread. I didn't realize during those 3 years of denial, lying, and playing games, I was being fed. It would take some time before I realized what I really hungered for. I was enslaved to my drinking. The games weren't working and pressure was building. I was drinking daily before work, at lunch, and after work. September 1996, my life started to crash. That pressure at work was really building, and I knew they were going to fire me. So I did the next best thing. I quit before they could fire me. I have a family to support, a mortgage to pay, numerous bills to pay. What was I thinking? Alcohol had me. It had become my focal point of life. You can say that alcohol has become my God. It was first before family or job. I am one of those in the crowd at Jesus' feet, sick and hungry. In verse 32 of today's gospel, Jesus calls his disciples to him and says, "I feel sorry for these people. They have been with me for 3 days and now have nothing to eat." Unbeknownst to me, Jesus had been feeding me. During those denial years, I was exposed to the AA program and the 12 steps. And I have a slide here that have the 12 steps of AA. Don't worry, I'm not going to go over each one of the 12 steps. Now, the 12 steps of the AA program do embody core teachings of God's redemptive relationship with mankind from salvation to evangelism. Over the next 30 to 40 days, I would be faced with making a choice. Now, I'm not going to talk about all 12 steps, but I do want to talk about the first three. Step one, admitted I am powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable. That's pretty easy to answer if I'm honest with myself. Step two, come to believe a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. Was I insane? Well, I kept drinking, thinking I could change my drinking and control it. So I was doing the same thing, expecting a different result. Again, if I'm honest with myself, yes, I was insane regarding my drinking. Step three, made a decision to turn my life and will over to the care of God as I understand him. Well, I grew up with church in my life, was baptized when I was 18 months old, was taught about Jesus in Sunday school, attended confirmation classes, and was confirmed here at Faith Lutheran Church. I was married, and both my children were baptized here at Faith Lutheran. You would think I had a clue, a real clue, as to that understanding of who God is to me. I know the story of God creating the world, Jesus' life, crucifixion, and rising again. I believed it intellectually up here. But was it true? At the age of 37, I needed to find out. Jesus continues to feed my hunger as I seek the answer. At those AA meetings I had attended, some folks there had a higher power that wasn't the Christian God. They were happy and sober. Now, there are many other faith practices and beliefs in this world, and some in the program use those. Some even use the AA group itself as their higher power. There were even a few atheists in the program who were sober and happy. But that wasn't answering my question. So I decided to ask two people that I loved, who is God? First, I asked my dad, which must have struck him as odd after raising me in the Christian faith. Maybe it even hurt him, I don't know. He was a teacher, so I'll never know the answer to that. But his answer to me was, for God loved the world he created so much that he sent Jesus so that everyone who believes in him will not die but have eternal life. He basically was quoting John chapter 3, verses 16 to 18 out of the New Testament. At the time, that reminded me of studying the Apostles' Creed in confirmation class. The second person I asked was my son Matthew. He was 6 years old at the time. We were driving to Safeway over on East Avenue to get a pumpkin for Halloween when I asked him, Matthew, who is God? And he turned his head and looked at me without hesitation with those big brown eyes and said, Dad, God is everything around me. Looking back and reflecting on this today, that was the Holy Spirit speaking through my son. A few days later, October 30th, 1996, I hit rock bottom. Back in September, I had quit my job, and today my morning drinking was discovered. I was supposed to take our kids and the neighbor's kids to school, which thankfully didn't happen. I was told I was a weak, sick person. I had to leave. All the lies and denial, no job, and now my marriage and family disappearing. At the age of 37 that morning, I had a choice. I had a real choice to make. I chose to turn to my parents for help. And as I think about it today, the unconditional love they continued to give me at that moment in my life still amazes me. They reached out to that outpatient recovery program I had intended, and they asked for guidance for an inpatient facility. I ended up over at Duffy's in Calistoga, which is a 30-day inpatient program based on AA principles, and it had an educational component to it, a safe place away from alcohol. Looking back today, I can see where God was working in my life. Jesus was feeding me. 31 days later, I came home to Chico sober. I had no job, no house, or family to live with, if ever, because I wasn't sure my marriage was still going to be intact. What will I do? Would Jesus feed me at that moment? Make it easy for me? No, it wasn't that simple. I had to learn to live sober. I began putting my life back together slowly. Looking back today, I can see God's grace was working in my life. A family friend offered me a room to live in. A previous employer, Montgomery Ward, offered me a part-time job in the Honda Center. A return to a job I had when I was 19 years old. I went to those AA meetings daily in the beginning, in earnest this time. I worked all the steps with my sponsor. I became very active in the program. Slowly, I started getting physically and emotionally healthy. Recovery is slow and intentional. It was maybe a couple of months. I don't remember the exact time frame, but Leanne let me back in the house. Now, the wedding ring didn't go right back on her finger. I had no idea whatsoever if our marriage would survive, or if I even deserved a second chance, given the damage I had caused. One of the greatest lessons in life, I learned about forgiveness and second chances. One practicing one's faith. God's grace again. Did I really deserve a second chance? Jesus remarkably heals the lame, blind, crippled, and sick. Jesus feeds us every day, whether we are aware of it or not. It might be unconditional love, forgiveness, or compassion. Jesus had taken me, a boring, garden variety alcoholic, and fed me with those scraps of bread and fish, giving me strength to learn to live sober. I'm very grateful that Jesus fed me. Jesus healed me by removing that obsession to drink. I suspect the craving is still there, but I haven't had a drink today to find out. We did return to church here at Faith Lutheran, got the kids into Sunday school, and started attending church on a regular basis. I was still hungry for my answer, though, of who God is as I understand him. Kind of felt like I was an agnostic going along there for a little bit. It was about 3 years into my recovery, coming back to church, coming to service. Pastor Brian was preaching one Sunday. What the sermon that day was about or what the scripture he was preaching to, don't remember. Really doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. It hit me right here in the heart, right here where it counts. It was all true. I felt it. It was a feeling better than the feeling alcohol had given me. And now I really did understand who God was for me. It's hard to explain the feeling other than I knew the next day what I hungered for. It was a feeling that God loved me and was there with me, and I yearned for more. Sunday school classes, confirmation class and studies, getting married in the church, having the kids baptized in the church, going to church as a kid, the AA meetings program, the steps, and now being involved in the church as a sober adult have all been the foundation of my life and faith today. But I learned for me, for faith to be real, it had to become my own. I was taught the principles of faith, but I had to come to it personally for that faith to be real. Of course, I still have questions today. I think we all do. We learn from today's first reading how Hannah responded after being fed by God. Upon receiving that child, the son she had asked so reverently for, she gives Samuel back to God. Gratitude, giving back what she so desperately prayed for. I've tried to give back over the last 25 years, learning along the way that gratitude is an action word. It's actually a verb in my book. I attended many AA meetings, ran meetings, I sponsored people. Coming back to Faith Lutheran Church, I immersed myself in service, all done to serve and give back as best as I'm able. Some days, I fall short. I continue today to need my hunger fed on both the good and not so good days. That amazing, unconditional love from God is fed to us every day. You can call it grace or mercy. Today, 27 and a half years later, actually, if I do the math correctly, I understand how much I hunger for spiritual nourishment. That spiritual nourishment can come from so many aspects of life. Definitely from attending church and the activities doing the work of the church, which has many opportunities. But I also can find that food that Jesus feeds us from prayer and meditation. Helping others, taking a hike in Bidwell Park, the drive by myself up in the mountains, a sunset or a sunrise, a difficult conversation with that individual that you think you don't like. One of my fellow Stephen ministers shared at a previous meeting here recently about how she gets fed. She goes to the grocery store to buy food to feed herself. But she gets some spiritual feeding from Jesus when she goes there because she looks to brighten people's days. She found an employee in the produce department at the grocery store that was having a bad day. And she went over and talked to him, brightened his day. I could go on as there are many more ways. So I will ask you, how has Jesus fed you? Amen.